So many people are experiencing not a place for them. Help us all. We know we need the natural place. But Lord, you provide both the natural and the spiritual place. And because we tap into you, your heart, who's God, creator of heaven and earth, you have places we know not of. And so, Father, thank you that there's always a place at your house. Secure place, safe place, accepted place, loving place, supportive place, not non-biased place. Thank you. So, Father, I thank you for giving me the tongue of the learned, that I may know how to speak a word in season to them that are weary, and that my speech and my teaching and preaching is not with the enticing words of man's wisdom, but with demonstration and manifestation of the Spirit and of power. Therefore, Lord, I commit to give you alone all the praise and the glory and the honor for what will take place today, and also in the many days to come in the lives of your people and in generations yet to come. So we thank you, Father. And all of God's wonderful people said, amen. Could you open your Bible to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8? We're going to continue our teaching on how prosper God's way. Say God's way.
God's way.
As we said before, there's all kind of ways people can prosper in their lives. We're not talking about prospering only with financial or stuff. That's part of it. But also in your relationships, in your health, in your careers, and everything God has put and given to you. Every part of your life should prosper, should increase, should do better. Say, do better. And so this is what we want to talk about today and continue on. If you would, look at Joshua chapter 1 and verse 8. And it says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Now, he's not talking about stop talking about it. He means don't stop talking about it. And there are other passages that support that indicate don't stop talking about the word, in particular in Deuteronomy chapter 6. And you shall meditate therein day and night. Say day and night.
Day and night.
Now today, this teaching will give some insight and some understanding of why some of our prayers aren't answered and things we come to God about. We're going to address this area because how we see the word, how we use it, and how we see God and Christ in particular is huge in that process. So we're going to talk a bit about that, provide some understanding. But the word gives us insight in who God is. Say, who God is.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, we kind of know it in general. We all have a sense of understanding, but knowing personally at a deeper level. Plus, God's going to start healing more.
Amen.
Even starting today. Say, starting today.
Starting today.
In a more increased area of divine healing, even where you're sitting.
Amen.
You should come here expecting to be healed.
That's right.
Whether we lay hands upon you or not.
Amen.
Yeah, do it at your house. We're not suggesting only wait till you come here. Respect when we come together as one. God will begin to manifest. We always have people that are new to our church come in and visitors and those who may be new to the faith, and they need to be encouraged, and God wants to heal people. Say, heal people.
Heal people.
Yes, he does. So he says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night. Why? That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then you shall make your way prosperous. You make wise decisions and follow God's way of doing things. And then you will have good success. So it's the scripture that we go deeper on to better understand through the Bible calls it meditation. It's just thinking about it, reading about it, mulling it over in your mind, writing some things down that God speaks to you. You're meditating on scripture. Like you do in memorizing a history facts for your history test. You go deep. You meditate on it.
Mm-hmm.
We do it all the time, don't we? You know, ladies, you know, he's cute. You know what? He's always on your mind. You meditating on him, and he's doing the same thing with you, right? So we understand it. Just go deeper. Go deeper.
Go deeper.
Go deeper. And when I say go deeper, there's more inside the scripture than what may be on the surface. You read it, okay. Then you keep going over and over. You realize, oh, there's more in there. Another insight, another way of looking at it. Another way to apply it to my life. Say go deeper. And then on top of that, we're going to talk about today how it would begin to reveal who Jesus is and a better picture of who he really is in your life.
Hallelujah.
So it's not just scripture promises, if you would. It reveals who God is and who Christ is to you.
Yes.
Amen? And that's huge.
Amen.
You know, you may have a rich uncle, but he don't like you, though. You know, he's not too good to you. Are you following? When you realize how great God is and he loves you. Oh, you're good, you're good, you're good, you're good. He favors you. You're good, right? So it's the you piece, the relationship piece is huge. It's not just he's all powerful, he'll be all powerful to you. When you see who he is and how he relates to you, what he provided for you, and get to know him better,
yes,
it's a whole different story.
That's it.
Are you following me?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we want to kind of go today as you go deeper. Look at Philemon chapter 1. We referenced it last time. This is a brief review, and then we move on further. Verse 6. It talks about that the communication of thy faith, and I'm reading out of the King James on purpose to get it better. I like the way it says it. But that the communication of thy faith may become effectual or effective by what? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ. What? Jesus. Wow. Acknowledging. This is huge. Acknowledging, notice, every good thing. No mention about the bad. That's not going to help you.
Amen.
Not going to help you. What you think about the most and talk about the most becomes a part of your life. But the Bible says in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So it matters much what you think about and the kind of things you think about. Why, how much more the scriptures, the word of God. It's all about blessings. It's all about how God wants to help you and what he provided for you, and let that be part of your life. And also, like I said before, reveal himself better to you. Say better to me.
Better to me.
You know, it's interesting. In most any environment, whether it be a family or organization, there may be a person that's influential, and then you may say, go talk to so-and-so. And you may say, oh, I don't know them like that. You don't feel comfortable, right? And yet this person, they help you. Oh, you're your family. You know, you work for the company. But I don't know them like that. This is huge. Guess what? Sometimes our faith toward God is like, I don't know him like that.
Wow.
The way we approach God. We're going to show some examples how to overcome, because sometimes it's those kinds of views of God and how we relate to God personally in our non-church environment speaks to whether I relate to him well or I don't know him. I don't know him like that. And we back off, and our prayers aren't confident because we feel like we don't know him like that. But you can. Say, I can.
I can.
And you should. And you should. This is why the basis of the word we've been talking about gives us a foundation and allows us to go deep. Better understanding of what God is, not just what God has promised us, what he's provided for us, but who he is to enforce what he promised us.
Right. Hallelujah.
You know, you go to a restaurant and you order a menu and it's not quite right. You may ask for the manager, for example. We want to make sure you're satisfied. That's our policy here. So maybe the waiter couldn't help you. We can't take money off the bill, or can't do it that way. You go to the manager and they find out they can do that. That's our way. We want to help you. Are you following me? God backs up his promises.
Yes,
and we need to know him as a person like that.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen?
And by the way, you know, you want to acknowledge every good thing. I love the way God thinks. I'm not sure about you, but I got some bad stuff in my life. You know what the Bible tells me? Forgetting those things. He didn't say remember those things.
Right.
Forgetting those things which are behind, my old life.
Yes. Amen.
Now, there may be time to talk about it, a testimony environment, but major in the good.
Amen.
Major in the good.
Right.
Well, Pastor, what if I don't have much good? That's why you came today.
Right.
To put more good in your life.
That's right.
Because it's already in the scriptures. See, whether you're experiencing good, whether you have it in your life right now, doesn't matter. God sees it in your life already.
Right.
It's already. What we have to do is embrace it and believe it.
That's right.
Okay, I kind of rattled a little cages right now. Just follow me. Whether you're experiencing good or not, God sees you, the good in your life. He wants you to acknowledge every good thing in you in Christ.
Yes.
Now you're in Christ, you're a Christian. It's in you in what? Christ. Mm. So then define your new life in the context of Christ.
Yes.
If you look at it only in your life only, you're missing it. You won't go there because you see your, this is me, this is me. That's not who you are today.
That's right.
You know, I went to my family, not family, it was a high school reunion some years ago. And, hey, that's old Eddie. Not that he died already. Okay. You know, what do you mean? That's you. Well, I'm not the same person. I'm a new person in Christ.
Amen.
I was kind of slick Eddie then. Okay. So I'm not that person.
Amen.
So we have to, this is how we embrace who Jesus is. Sometimes we got to discipline ourselves. Just thoughts come up, the ideas, the feelings. I get it. But when you respond to that, have an answer to that, I'm going to acknowledge all the good things in my life in Christ.
Yes.
Then you start embracing it, and it becomes yours now.
Yes. Amen.
If you don't, we'll feel unworthy in our prayers based on what you did or didn't do. Missed the mark, disappointed, hurt, been a bad boy, bad girl. That's not good enough. It's all under the blood. Say, under the blood. So decide today to acknowledge the good or the bad in your life, for that is what you will have more of. The choice is yours. Say, the choice is mine.
The choice is mine.
Wow. So you got to decide. And that's what Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 19 refers to. The Bible says, God said before you, life and death, blessing and cursing. He says, choose. And he says, and then he says, he didn't say this, choose. He gave the answer to the test. Choose life.
Amen.
Choose life. Amen. That both you and your children shall live.
Right.
Because our children will follow in our example and in how we live our life. They'll follow our pattern. They'll talk like we talk. Not just accent and so forth. They'll be optimistic. People that are in pessimistic families, their children tend to be that way. Unless they get a hold of the word and make a change. People that are in a possibility thinking families, possibility opportunities, they think differently.
Right.
It impacts your children. Say, impacts your children.
It impacts your children.
If you're a very fearful family, afraid, oh, no, we don't know those people. I can't go by there. Oh, what's going on over there? As opposed to opportunity. See, I've learned to color outside the lines.
Yeah.
Break the rules. Not break God's law, but break human rules.
Yeah. Amen.
Do it differently. That's what Uber did. Yeah, you're going to get this now. See, too often we haven't learned, we understand who we are in Christ and begin to acknowledge that I'm creative, that greater is He that's in me. I can do something that's not has not been done before if you would break the rules.
Amen.
And Uber, for example, was a powerful game changer. Impacted the whole industry. And they're not unique. And there's still more opportunity to break the rules. God will take you further, but do it differently. Say, do it differently.
Do it differently.
And give you an edge by breaking the rules. God is a big-time rule breaker of the world rules.
Yeah. Amen.
Are you following me?
Amen.
And that's who you created to be.
That's right.
That's why the Pharisees and the Sadducees were upset with Jesus. He broke the religious rules. He broke the religious rules.
Amen.
Religion is not about the Bible. It's about what men want.
Mm-hmm.
Look at 1 John chapter 5. Oh, yes. Verse 14. It's about confidence here. Now, this is the confidence, John's writing, that we have in who?
Him.
Wow. Now, I've read that probably 1,000 times over the years. But I can tell you, this past preparing and meditating on scripture in this passage in particular for days and days and days, I'm thinking, wait a minute, he kept saying, in him. You see, what we're going to leave you with today is, yes, the word we want to study, yes, the word we want to understand, the promises and so forth, so we can pray in line with the word and receive what God has for us in our lives, but it's tapping into the person of Christ is the key.
Mm-hmm.
Say the person of Christ.
The person of Christ.
That backs it up. It'd be like somebody, you know, somebody give you some tickets to go to the Super Bowl. You're excited, and, you know, you got to, they give you a plane ticket, bring your best friend with you, you know, and all that, and you can get you a nice box seats and a hotel paid for. You go and get the envelope tickets in there and so forth. Thank you. You run to your plane, and that's it? You just grabbed it and ran? You don't acknowledge the person. And too often, that's the disconnect. We're going to show you in a moment, give some examples of how focusing so much on the problem, the thing we want God to change, and the solution is, once you ask God, focus on Him to provide the solution.
Amen.
Focus on Him to provide the solution.
Amen.
So it says here in 1 John 5, verse 14, now this is the confidence that we have in Him. That if we ask anything according to, notice, His will, Him, He hears us. That's the problem, Bishop. You know, I don't know the will of God. I don't know if God heard me. Well, find out what the scripture tells you. I like to say it this way. Find out, decide what you want God to do in your life. Find scripture that promises you that and pray that.
Amen.
It's not difficult.
Amen.
But we have to be people that are comfortable and willing to go to scripture to find what God's will is about that area or any area in your life.
Amen.
That's why meditating on it, you find it, plus studying it, you find it.
Hallelujah.
You use your app, it's easy. Put in a certain word that has a word you're looking for, and you find four or five verses. Oh, yeah, okay. And you find evidence God promises you that. When it's in the word, this is God's letter, God's contract to you as a believer.
Amen.
His agreement. He's obligated himself to perform his word. He's obligated himself.
Yes.
Like any other contract, any other agreement, you expect folk to live up to the agreement. You know what? Are you following me?
Yes.
Now, we don't have an attitude with God, but we approach Him expecting that He will. He's a good person. He wants to.
Amen.
We got to find and stand on it because that's how he's going to honor it. Because if we come to Him and it's not the scriptures, or we waver on it because we're not sure about it, He doesn't answer it.
Amen.
The Bible says a double-minded man or woman is unstable in all their ways, and then should I expect anything from the Lord? That's in James. It's deep. Don't expect nothing from me.
Amen.
If you waver it. In other words, be settled. Say, be settled.
Be settled.
Know what you believe
and
come to God and stick with it. Say, stick with it.
Stick with it.
But it's difficult to do that if you're not sure if it's the will of God. This is what he's talking about here in prayer. Now, this is the confidence we have in Him. Oh, God. God wants us to have confidence. Not being sheepish. The Bible says, come boldly, not disrespectfully, but boldly to the throne of grace.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Like your children do. Dad, I need $20. Can I have the keys? Come on, talk to me.
Mm-hmm.
They come boldly. They come respectfully, but they ask. Dad, Mom, can I wear that blouse? That necklace, that watch, are you following? Just bring it back, okay? Now, we see that in the natural. How much more before God with confidence?
Amen.
Confidence. Say confidence.
Confidence.
And that's required of God. Because if you're not confident, something else is working inside of you. Not sure. You don't realize if you're not confident. If you don't express confidence, I'm not saying just kind of hype yourself up. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about you're confident, like you know your name, like you know how old you are. Are you following me? Like you know what high school you went to. You're confident. Are you following me? Be like that when it comes approaching God. Without it, he says, you're not, because it's your unbelief or lack of faith that gets in the way. God requires faith. Say, God requires faith.
God requires faith.
So he's saying, this is the confidence you ought to have, that you have in him, that if you ask anything, I love it, anything. That can be a new washer and dryer. Come on, talk to me. That can be tuition. Talk to me.
Amen.
A little more money and income. Talk to me. Anything.
Amen.
Restore a relationship. That, it means that too. Restore a relationship.
Amen.
And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know, say, if we know. God wants you to know something. Be certain about it. That's why going deep allows you to get a better understanding. See, shallow, you're not sure. I read the Bible. I read that verse, but does that really apply to me? Now you're coming to God with a need, and you wait till then to figure out whether you know the word or not. We go deep now. Say, go deep now.
Go deep now.
When you have a situation, you know, it rises up. You go verify in the scripture. Now, Lord, I'm coming to you. You have confidence, and you know. Say, I know.
I know.
How do I know? Because I see it written in the scripture, and I believe the Bible. You think man wrote the Bible, you got a problem. If you think man wrote the Bible, but man didn't write the Bible. God wrote the Bible, man just set the type.
Yes. Amen.
The Bible is inspired by God.
Amen.
Holy men of God wrote it, being moved by the Holy Spirit. You know, I was driving and thinking about this the other day. You know, we don't question most of the books we read in school. And we know a man wrote that. Come on, we know a man wrote it.
Mm-hmm.
Come on, and we don't question at all.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Don't we?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's in my history class. It's in, and some of that history is wrong, too, or not complete.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But also, some of the math, they realize, oh, that's not, that's an error in that. But you believe it. Mm-hmm. And you know, man wrote it.
Yeah.
And we won't know that the Bible is God's word and settle that in our heart. That's why when you get it settled, you make your own way prosperous because you're applying the scriptures. You're working it out in your life.
Amen.
You're doing it. Say doing it.
Doing it.
You're speaking it. Say speaking it.
Speaking
and
it.
You believe it. That's the basis of it.
Amen.
Verse 15. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, I like God's style. I mean, he's opened up a clean slate for us. If we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, say whatever I ask.
Whatever.
Say it again.
Whatever.
That's anything. Yes, according to his will, but that's not difficult to find out what his will is. Well, you know, it's not written that I should work for an ABC company, Bishop. Well, the Bible does say in Proverbs, Commit your works unto the Lord, and your thoughts will be established. It's a job, okay? Work. So commit, Lord, the job you have for me, I open myself up to you, Lord God. I commit it to you. I serve you, Lord God. I'm trusting you, Lord God. And then your thoughts start being, you start talking to you. Pick job B. Pick number two. Because you just, hey, Lord, I'm committing my, are you following me?
Yes.
The principle is there. Otherwise, I don't know what to choose. Got five job offers. You've been sitting on that for 5 weeks. You don't have none right now because you're not sure. The biblical pattern is practical for everyday life. Say everyday life.
Everyday life.
So you can prosper in every area and make progress in every area of your life.
Amen.
That's the plan. Say that's the plan.
That's the plan.
So if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desire and ask of him. Now, confidence in God and knowing what his word promises you are essential to having it. Say to having it.
Having.
It's essential. Look at Mark chapter 11. And I want to tap into something that can be further helpful for us. We're talking about the word of God and how it's so necessary.
Amen.
You need it in your life, in your marriages, in your relationships, as I mentioned earlier. This area, as I've been thinking about the in him piece, confidence, this is the confidence we have in him, is really about, it's a key piece. I'm thinking about when Jesus told the disciples, let's go over to the other side, fellas. And they got in the boat, go across the lake. The lake was known for having storms. Quickly, it goes on the day like that. It's just the way it's made and where it is. It happened in those days. And then a storm just arose. Jesus asleep on a pillow, knocking out some Z's. Okay. Enjoying himself, relaxing. The disciple says, Jesus! 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 We perish! We perish! They're talking, we're going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because it's known that people die out there. The ships get crushed and they sink and people die. So they were talking from experience. They have the data. Yeah, they have the data. We're going to perish. Jesus got up when they woke him up, rebuked the wind, and it hushed. By the way, that's the same authority you have. I know it sounds strange. I know. Just believe the Bible. It's in Luke 10:19, one of many places. Behold, I give unto you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the ability of the enemy. If you do it, nothing shall by enemies hurt you. Now, you don't go just trying to take authority of people's lives and so forth. But when you need it in those areas, God shows up.
Amen.
That's been happening many times in my life and in this ministry. We have divine authority. So they said, we perish. And then he rebuked the wind, as I said earlier. And then he said, where is your faith? Where is your faith? In one account of it, they said, where is your faith?
Yeah.
Well, they didn't realize their faith was in the boat with them all along. They moved their faith into the storm, into perishing. They have faith for that. They're talking faith in that. We perish, as opposed to faith in Jesus, the person. Say the person.
The person.
That can calm the storm.
Yeah.
They already seen him do miracles before the storm. Yeah. And sometimes we pray and then something happens, a shortage, a delay, and we're talking. We move our faith over here. And what we need to be doing, put our faith in him.
Amen.
Focus our faith in him, the one that solves the need, the one supplies the need, the one that helps and delivers.
Amen.
And studying, I had a chance to review and read this account in Katherine Kuhlman's book called I Believe in Miracles. I highly recommend it, It's this kind of teaching that we can't go, you know, we can read on your own, and that's for the people who are serious about prospering in life, God's way, because you got to be a reader, and because it's going to help you. What Katherine Kuhlman was, a New Testament evangelist. She didn't call herself that, but she really was, because miracles took place in her life on a regular basis, ministering healing to people. She got called as a young girl, and her mom was a Methodist, pretty good woman. Her dad was a Baptist. He wasn't a good Baptist, she said. And so she didn't know much about God, and she started, you know, giving her life to the Lord, seeking the Lord, and God started healing her and showing her things, and she operated in miracles, and people getting healed, and she realized that's what God was doing in her life. So this is an actual account. And what she would do, which I like about her style of ministry, she would minister healing to people, but she would document. Before she published it, she documented and took years to analyze it. And to verify and get doctors and make sure that even though she didn't question it that they were healed, but she knows there's cynics out there. So I'm gonna wait 5, 6, 7, 8 years and then publish it. They're still healed. Are you following me?
Amen.
This book is full of them. Full of them. Say full of them.
Full of them.
And it's powerful. So I'm gonna highlight an account. Now this is a mother, her and her husband, and she wanted both a son and a daughter. She had the daughter first. And excited, then she got pregnant again, and then she had a boy. All excited, she's praising the Lord, thank you. And all of a sudden, things are happening already. Doctor rush in, they realize the baby has a deformed foot and leg. Had kind of a club, they call it a club foot, where the toes are kind of backed up toward the heel, and it's shorter than the other leg. The doctor basically told her that the child probably never, we do an operation, try to do a little bit, but we can guarantee you that the child will never walk again, never walk at all, or never play sports, never be normal. She was crushed. Now, she's a churchgoer, but don't know much about the word. But somehow she had stumbled upon Katherine Kuhlman's radio broadcast, or these days, her podcast, if you would, her live Facebook stream. She came across her teaching about healing and faith in God. And so what happened was she got encouraged. So she's praying. She recommitted her life to the Lord. You know, got some sin out of her life she was involved in, some stuff she said she had to stop, and she decided to do that. And then she's all in, serving God. And so she's asking God to heal her son, and this way pick up here. Ronnie, that's her husband, kept getting better. That's her son, excuse me, kept getting better and better. When he was about a year old, he could stand, but his legs still turned out. Jean continued to pray, that's her name, the mother, pray, confident that his healing would soon be complete. Say, will soon be complete. However, say, however. As she prayed, her eyes constantly, no, as she prayed, Lord, heal my son, heal my son. She constantly stayed, her eyes constantly stayed on Ronnie's crippled leg. It's like this. Let me see if I put this, Josh. Okay, here you are. Lord, heal Johnny. Heal Ronnie. Heal Ronnie. Looking at the leg. Oh, heal Ronnie. Heal Ronnie, looking at the cripple. Heal Ronnie, hasn't grown yet. Are you following me? Mm-hmm. I'm trying to help you understand the focus.
That's right.
How if you get the wrong focus, even though you have the right intentions, you're not getting what you need from God.
Right.
However, as she prayed, her eyes constantly stayed on to Ronnie's crippled leg as if waiting to see the miracle take place. I know it's innocent. I would like to see a miracle too. But what's behind it? It was Elmer, her husband, who with remarkable insight said to her, maybe you're going about this the wrong way, baby. I put the baby piece in there. Perhaps you should stop looking at his leg all the time. Say all the time.
All the time.
She was doing it all the time. Rather than looking at him, the healer. You already asked, it's done. But maybe sometimes we can act like it's not done, and our behavior is reflecting a subtleness in our thinking that it may not work. I'm hoping it will. Just please follow me. You continue to pray, confident. Let's go back. Ronnie kept getting better and better. Oh, I'm so sorry. It was Elmer who, with remarkable insight, said to her, maybe you're going about this the wrong way. Perhaps you should stop looking at his leg all the time praying. You act as if you're questioning God's promises to heal, as if you're challenging him to hurry up, as if maybe you're afraid he won't. It seems to me you should think and believe that the leg is already healed now. Say, already healed now.
Already healed now.
Wow. I thought about this. Now, I won't say most wise, but some wise under pressure, you know, trying to get a baby healed. I know the word. Don't preach to me. But she didn't do that. See, sometimes a little insight, it may be true, just receive it and let God minister to you, because now you're bringing strife in the mix between the husband and wife. And the baby suffers even further. For where? Say where. That's a location. The Bible says where there's envy and strife, there's every evil work.
Amen.
He can't share a word with you? That might be helpful. She didn't resist that. No account that she had an issue with that. Thought I add that piece. Okay.
Amen.
That's important.
Amen.
So he says here, it seems to me you should think and believe that the leg is already healed. You know, he continued, the Bible says, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. We just read that. Elmer had knowingly, now Catherine Kuhlman's talking. Elmer had unknowingly discovered and expressed to his wife two basic precepts of divine healing. Believe that it is already done. Believe the promise that is done in your life. Well, how do I know? He settled it on Calvary. He settled it on Calvary. 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes you were healed.
Right.
It's done. But I don't feel like it. Doesn't matter. It's done.
Amen. He already did it.
Well, Pastor, I can't act like that. You didn't do that when you bought that new house. You put the offer in and got a call from the realtor. You got your house. They accepted your offer. Oh, thank you. Get on the phone. I got it. Telling everybody, I got it. Have moved in yet. In fact, you even canceled your lease on the old apartment. You believe you got it so hard. You're going to get this.
Amen. That's the truth.
You do it all the time, my friend.
Amen.
Believe God.
We got to believe God, what he promised.
Because
you haven't moved in there to the apartment or to the new house. In fact, you spend money in advance. You want to remodel the kitchen. put a deposit on, pay for a designer, had them go in there a little early before they moved out, because you believe what? You got it. But if it comes to God, too often, we don't believe we got it. Amen. We believe the man's word. All you got is a letter with a signature on it, and folk have been known to drop, to pull out of real estate deals that they already assigned. Mm-hmm. Don't they?
Yes.
Yeah. I call her. She's one of our top real estate person in our church. Mm-hmm. Y'all talk sometimes. She gets things done, and she says it happens. Amen. Yeah. Say I got it. But you got to believe and act like you got it.
Amen.
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 So as you said, believe that it's already done, even as you pray, and focus your attention not on the ailment, the physical challenge, but on Jesus Christ. This is huge. Because too often we're focusing on the need, financial need, job need, you know, academic need, boom, 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 different life need. I get it. But if we focus too much on it, you're looking at it's not done yet. It's not done yet. Hasn't happened yet. Hasn't manifested yet. And what happened? You're really walking in fear. And this is what Kathy Kuhlman. She's ministering. She happened to stumble on her broadcast, and she's ministering on a topic that's really related to her situation, and it was game changer for her. The next day, during the broadcast, Jean listened intently to every word that I had to say during my little heart-to-heart talk. And surely I was led by of the Holy Spirit to speak on that precious mother's, on behalf of that precious mother, that over and over I emphasize the fact that fear has one of your greatest enemies that an individual could take into their life. Fear is not good. It's you not. See it in the world. Fear is a friend. It's not a friend. It's an enemy, the Bible says.
Right.
Fear is an enemy. It's of the devil. It's an evil spirit. I stressed the fact that we lose our fear by fastening our attention not on the thing we feared. He could never walk again. Not on that. Or on the fear of this fear, but on Christ. Say Christ.
Christ.
Put our attention on Christ, who will be our deliverance from fear. Not knowing there in the kitchen of her home was a mother who was hanging on every word Catherine was speaking. Take your eyes off circumstances. Take your eyes off the conditions. Take your eyes off the affliction. And fix your eyes on Jesus, for at the heart of your faith is a person.
Amen. Jesus.
Oh, God.
Lord Jesus.
At the heart of your faith is a person, yes. Not a thing.
Yes. Amen.
Not a slot machine, prayer, now drop it out to me, God. No, a person who backs it up.
That's right.
How do we relate to the person of Christ is huge. How we honor him, how we relate to him and see him as our source, that he is not a man that he should lie. Say, he's not a man. When we start thinking about God, you're not like a man. What you said you would do? And then this happened. So she was encouraged. And then in an instant, Jean took her child in her arms and stood him on a corner of the room. By himself. She went on her knees. Lord God. Her eyes on God. Not on the baby. Not looking at his foot.
That's right. That's right.
Not looking at the bank with no money. The bank account.
All right.
Not looking at whatever. That's, see whether it happened yet. Her eyes are on Christ. Say eyes are on Christ.
Her eyes are on Christ.
On her knees. Her eyes on God and not on her baby. Her eyes on Christ and not on his poor little club foot. She looked up and prayed, oh, Lord, please let him walk. Please let him take his first step to be straight and strong. As she rose from her knees, she took little Ronnie, looked at Ronnie, and without really understanding what she was doing, she put him in a corner over there. And guess what? The miracle came to pass. He walked toward her perfectly. Say perfectly.
Perfect.
Legs and feet both strong and straight. Those little legs have remained strong and straight until this day. And that was about 10 years later. He was 10 years old when this was printed. 1 year old when she was about, by the way, she was so distraught when she found out her baby's condition, the baby she prayed for. She was going to go in front of a streetcar, in those days streetcars they had, and commit suicide with the baby in her arms because she didn't want him to be bullied. He could never provide for himself, never could do good in life. And she said, And then she heard the broadcast. That wasn't an accident.
Amen.
Oh, God.
Amen.
That wasn't an accident.
Hallelujah.
And she took it in. Say, took it in.
Took it in.
The Bible says, talks about in Isaiah, I saw when the day that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord high and lifted up. How do you see him?
Well,
the scriptures, as you meditate on scriptures, allow you to see God properly as who he really is.
Amen.
So what do? Now look at Mark 11, 24. Let me close with this. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. In fact, read it out loud with me, please.
Therefore I say unto you, what
things soever you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. When do you think you should believe you receive them? When you pray. When is that? Whenever that was. It's now then when you do it. Believe I got it. So you believe you got it when you prayed. And he says, if you believe you had it when you prayed, you got it when you prayed, you shall have it later.
Amen.
That could be a few seconds later, a few hours later, a few days. Doesn't matter. You got it.
That's right.
Just like the property. It could be a delay in the guy putting together the escrow or maybe the getting the remodel done. They said, you can get in there in two months. Now it's 3 months. But you said, I still got it.
Mm-hmm. I got it.
You didn't lose what? Lose what? Confidence. We got to protect our confidence.
Amen.
How you do that? Keep your eyes on who? Jesus. It's key. That's not cliche. The scriptures help you in those areas.
Amen.
I'm not a man that I should lie. I confirm my word with signs following. I never leave you nor forsake you. It's verses like that that let you know he's there for you.
Yes. Amen.
Bow your head, please.
Thank you, Jesus.
The Lord is here. You would just put your things up in your Bible in person. The Spirit of God is here, my friend. He's here to help you. Here to heal you. Here to provide for you. He's here to get you out of a tough spot.
That's right.
A tough spot in life. This word is, I trust, minister to your heart to be more clear. Once you see, there's something you do between the time that you believe you have it and the time you shall have it.
Amen.
It manifests or you possess it. What do you do in that meantime, Pastor? Focus on Jesus. You thank him. You bless him. You let the word minister to your heart so your faith does not waver in the process, in the process of time. We unravel our prayers. Now it's been so long, I guess God never heard my prayer. I guess it's not for me. Now you're unraveling your prayer. You're speaking doubt and unbelief what God already promised.